It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms
and conditions. 18+. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Brighton Rock Podcast, the podcast about the beautiful club within the beautiful game. And I'm back at the Gladstone after a fair few weeks away. I've already stocked up on a lovely chicken tikka pie. But there's something missing, and I think it's my co-host Peter, who might be along later. Luckily, I've got three other people for company. Introduce yourselves, boys. It's the Dogma guys. We have...
I'm James, hi.
Yeah, hello, yeah.
Parker, hello.
Excellent. You may have heard them before. We did a podcast, I think it was about a year ago, roughly, wasn't it? At the lovely Caxton Pub, in a pre-match, I can't remember the game, at Brett's Pub, which was great. We're catching back up again. New season, a new set of subscriptions are out as well. We'll get into the details on that in a moment, but in general, how's it been going with Dogma? All good, guys? Who wants to go first? James?
Yeah, it's been great. So issue came out a couple of weeks ago now.
Issue 7.
Issue 7.
Issue 7 almost sold out.
Almost sold out.
Left.
Excellent.
I think it's our best edition yet.
We always been that, but we should.
Well, theoretically, it improves as it goes on, like anything, doesn't it?
Yeah. So we've got for issue 7. We've got some new writers. Got some new illustrators. We've got, you know, the group of contributors is growing, and so we've been able to kind of leverage that, for want of a less horrible term. I think it's our best yet.
Excellent. That's good. Good. And you said new illustrators, so there's constant changes as well. You're getting different people on board to help. Collaborations, or are they part of the
sort of a snowball effect, isn't it? It's just like it keeps going, just keeps rolling more people into it, which is great. I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to give people a platform and attract more people to it, and that seems to be happening. So, you know, let organically grow, and, you know, whoever wants to get involved, get involved.
Yeah. As I said, just off air just now, I've subscribed. I haven't read the latest episode yet. I meant to read it before this, so I can't talk with excitement about what's in the latest one, other than having had a flick through. But again, it looks fantastic. Same sort of presentation in terms of the tactility, the look of it, the artwork, and the format as well with the articles and everything else. So, James, are you pretty pleased with that? And how do you see it developing? More changes afoot?
Yeah, exactly. Just like these guys were saying, we feel like it's reasonable to say it's getting better and better, and that's a testament to all the great people that hear about us and then get involved. That's a natural thing. So, yeah, we're really proud of this one, and we genuinely think it's our best yet. We've had some really great feedback and responses, and
It's superb. I can't recommend it enough. But just in case anybody missed the other episode or can't remember the details when we were talking before, just quickly go back through. I don't know who made part with it, because you instigated it, didn't you? Was it you that came up with the concept originally?
Yes, I did. It was it was in sort of lockdown days.
Oh yes.
I mean, I've always been a big fanzine nerd, and you know, fanzine romantic. I've always bought fanzines. I used to write for TSLR, which was a prep fanzine.
Oh yeah, yep.
And yeah, it felt like the right time to, well, having had some time to put into a project, it just felt like the right sort of passion project. And the right time to do it. So the first three issues were really kind of DIY. In fact, issue one was made at home with staples and stencils and bits of paper and sellotape. and sent to family members only. So I think there's about 14 of those out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, I know where they are because they're in my family. But
Tim Carter has one.
I made one up for Tim Carter because he has a collection of every album fanzine. In fact, other than one, which is issue two of Dogma, which he doesn't have yet.
Oh, right.
So I do need to make up a copy of that somehow for him. So issues one to three, yeah, really sort of DIY, just getting a feel for what it might look like, what it could be when things return to normal. And then, yeah, Rich and James got on board.
Yeah.
And just sort of grew from there, really.
And are the three of you the main kind of core structure in terms of the run it, basically?
We're the co-editors, three of us, and then there's another three or four people who are really involved, are really central to the to what we do. So it's about six or seven in total.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. And are you guys writing quite regularly for it as well, to obviously have a keen interest in the subject, I'm assuming?
I mean, we all contribute. I do a lot of the website stuff, but Rich and James have contributed content, and hopefully we'll articles in the future.
But we do also like to, have other people. It's not just about us, is it? It's like we have other people come in and give other voices and other opinions.
Yeah, I'm sure, kind of one of the cornerstones of what we're trying to do is give a platform to people that have cool stuff to show off about, and I feel like we're so intrinsically involved in the production of it that it's great to give that space for someone else to write really great stuff. And it's completely sort of meritocratic, it's submissions based, and if it's good then it'll go in. There's no other sort of criteria beyond that.
Excellent. On that basis, if anybody did want to contribute who's listening to this and you don't have contact with so far, how should they get in touch? Who do they contact?
So our website is dogmabrassy.com, and we have some submission guidelines on there.
Yeah, great. So that's good.
So first port call to read that.
Yeah, and we're always keen. I mean, people can get in touch with an idea, or we can meet up for a pint if they're not sure, if they think they've got something but not really sure how to bring that to life.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, as James said, it's the lifeblood of the design, really.
And obviously the same website, again, it's dogmabrighton.com. Dogmabrighton.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Dogmabrighton.com. That's obviously for subscriptions if people want to apply. Although, is there anything left subscription?
There's a few left. I mean, it's doing well. It depends when this comes out, but as we've discussed. But it's doing well, but there's still some available. So, if people want to get themselves a copy, then they still can at the moment.
Yeah,
hey, Rich, are you hinting it might sell out by Saturday, Sunday?
Maybe not by Saturday.
It could do.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've sold a lot more than we've got left, let's put it that way.
It's kind of like a model that has to work for us in terms of print publications, because the quality of it is so high that it's almost like a pre-order model in a way, and the subscription is the best way to go because then we know how many to print and you're guaranteed a copy, which is kind of the way it has to function, because the cost of printing stuff is so high at the moment.
Challenge, isn't it? When you're going for quality and products.
It's the only way to go, and that's what's different about our model, really. That's the road we wanted to go down, because we think fanzines have got an amazing history, but often people will tell them outside the ground. You roll them up and put them in your back pocket.
Yeah.
You might end up with 500 copies, 1,000 copies sitting in a box, which is not, I think our model is a more sustainable model.
Yeah, because it's more variable. I think people want stuff postally, I think, is the better way to go in terms of the tangible programmes.
Yeah,
now,
right.
Isn't it?
It should be in great condition. You can treasure it.
I still buy the programmes, and the facility the club's come up with to allow you to have that posted is perfect, because they always get damaged. I'm not too much of a perfectionist about keeping them pristine, but I want to keep them in reasonably good condition.
Yeah.
They always get screwed
up. Yeah, that's a
really,
really good idea. I wonder where they got that from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, who knows? You know.
How long have they been doing that?
Actually, I think this is
probably
their,
about since the lockdown.
I think it's the second season. Yeah,
so
I think.
Wow,
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Who knows where that came from?
Yeah, that's what we're really aiming to do, is, you know, contribute to the culture.
Yeah,
set the precedent.
I'm generally not going to read the stuff on the train because I'm usually travelling with people. Yeah. And also, you've got a phone, you've got podcasts, you've got Twitter, you've got everything else.
Yeah, people don't want that anymore.
Don't particularly want it, but when I'm sitting at home, sometimes I want to sit down and read something, and that's when I pick up the program or the Dogma magazine and have a read through, because I've got more time to concentrate on it properly. And as you've said before, when you came on before, it's more of a quality, deep dive, longer form writing, isn't it, in terms of the written article side of things. And that obviously is still the case now.
That's the aim. Sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I feel like because of the format, the editorial has to reflect that.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah,
really.
I think so.
If only we could have Paul Barber's programme notes to start things off, you know, in design. Yes. That would be the dream for us, maybe. maybe a little roundabout ticketing or something. Just to set the tone for the read.
Sure. Or like maybe one of us plays the Paul Barber role and has that sort of slightly finger wagging programme notes at the beginning.
You'd look good in a mustard sweater.
Yeah. You're very naughty boy.
That ball top away.
Yeah.
Always brings a smile to people's faces, other than the ball topping. On a serious matter, actually, just steering things more generally, but also with a note to Dogma, in terms of any sort of criticisms of the club or any sort of piss taking that you might throw out that fanzines have tended to do historically.
Yeah, well,
I mean, we will do it.
We will do it. I mean, the history of fans in the Albion is so bound up in the pre-war years.
Yeah,
and
particularly Goldsworth.
Goldsworth was absolutely critical to what then happened. Luckily, we're not in that situation. I don't think that's not an area we need to worry, that we need to go down. But I think we'd be happy to
be made. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, if there's a misstep, then I'm sure we'd be happy to call them out. Hmm. The kind of ID ticketing stuff at the moment. For the game that we're going to talk about in a bit.
Yes, indeed.
That's not hugely popular. I think, you know, that's something we'd be happy to get into in design for sure. I think we'd be happy to. Yeah, it's an independent. It's independent voices, you know, and sometimes
fan centric fan opinions, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So if people want to moan about that, then they can moan about it.
Yeah.
Same with the podcast, and I've been ranting about the ticketing scheme and ball tops in the past, and nothing so far from the club. So either they don't know about me, or they don't care about it. Or it's not that big a deal. Probably it's not that big a deal to them at the moment. They've just said close shop, they're not discussing certain issues anymore.
Well, we'll see if your QR code works next Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was just thinking that. Interestingly, I did, you know, they've got this away scheme starting, or spot checking starting this weekend.
Yeah.
Did you get an email today?
Yes, I did.
They've sent out the initial generic email saying what they were going to do. Then they sent an email to individuals who were going to be spot checked.
One of our group has someone I know.
And those that didn't, such as myself and presumably you guys, nothing. But now we've got another email saying you've got to bring photo ID anyway, according to the email anyway, regardless of whether you're on that list or not. So a friend of mine bought our ticket, so he hasn't said we haven't got them all, so I assume he's got my ticket with him. So they're not retaining them, and yet they're saying bring photo ID. I don't remember them saying that before, unless I misread something.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
Well, we used to only for the Pirates game. I mean, they had that for the Pirates game in the past, but not every game.
Hmm.
The Pirates game, they cracked down on more.
I can be quite shit at email reading as well, so I may have missed that.
No, I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. I've not actually checked my email today.
I just wondered if it was just me after publishing me.
I saw that, because the only reason I opened it was because I thought I maybe was on Barbara's naughty boy list.
That's what I thought, wasn't
it? I might be in for the check, but I'm not. I'm just in for the check. Yeah. But not the full cavity search check. I'm in for just the random. quite
pat down. Yeah, oh, exactly, yeah. Oh, that's all right, that's fair enough. The big question is, are they going to spot check Tony Bloom, who's going to be in the away end, of course, for this
game? Oh, yeah.
Not
yeah.
being a Matthew Benham fan.
Well, that's, yeah. Sure. Well, that's
the thing.
That's the thing. The Matthew Benham thing's really interesting to me, and I do think out of all teams, we should probably try and hate Brentford. It might be tricky because they seem quite nice.
Nice,
they seem quite nice, but well, we have to maybe find it within ourselves.
I can find a reason.
Just out of loyalty to Tony, because. You know, Benham is the guy who the accusation was that he stole the code. He stole Tony's amazing, beautiful
allegation.
That's the allegation.
Allegedly, that has been alleged.
Yeah, well, there you go. So that code is so good. Brentford have got an amazing new stadium. Mm. They can sign great players. They were promoted. They can survive in the Premier League. Mm. But the problem they have is they're not getting the updates. So at some stage, it could be this season, maybe next, they're going to become slightly obsolete.
Yeah.
Because they're like us of 5-6 years ago, mm. and they can only get to a certain place because that's the model that they're working towards. You know, we've moved on to it. Yeah.
One thing, unfortunately, I missed the Tony Bloom Seagulls Out London event on Monday. We're now speaking on Thursday. But general feedback from that, we didn't talk about it before, but I think the general gist was he's been quite pleased with how he's been able to refine the recruitment system over time and other elements around that. And obviously the whole thing with the technical director side of things has been fine-tuned over time. He's pleased with the progress he's been able to make in that regard. And he seems to be, from what they can tell, quite comfortable with the way it's quite comfortable with the way it's kind of been it's been dealt with, who's remained on board, how they are moving forward. Seems to be quite happy with all of that. So that's not necessarily a problem. Obviously didn't say anything about Matthew Benham, but obviously the police system's in place. And I think, although the other thing, the other upshot from it was, it seems he was not very obviously surprised that Grant Potter uprooted quite so many people, but also
did he sound just bitter or disappointed?
Well, I was going to say the word bitter was asked. He said, "No, not really bitter about it. Apparently, it's just you know, it is what it is. That's football. It's the kind of
at least Tony what he said. Always anyway. Knows what's going to happen. That's what I
feel. Respect that.
That's really the future. The future, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I think there was some mention, I don't know if it was on that or somewhere else, but I heard that apparently we did look at Erling Haaland as a younger guy as well.
Really?
He was on our radar. So even those players at the top end who come from, well, not nowhere, but they've shot up suddenly. Yeah. We're on one board with all of that. It's just who you can get. And
That's also great scouting. You say, I've got a little gem. Is it Dortmund?
He's a bit weird looking.
He's a forward.
I think by the time he's at Dortmund, it's probably too late. You're probably looking for when he's like 17, exactly. 18, playing in Norway.
All right, fair enough.
And if we snap him up then, obviously we're laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, wasn't it when Van Dijk was in Holland?
Yeah.
Hoyet went to watch him or...
Yeah.
Or maybe met him in the Italian restaurant off that road that they all used to go to.
Yeah, probably one of those things.
Yeah, that was the one that got away.
Yeah.
But it's so that's fun. Why he didn't sign, because maybe that's where
he's
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, Deserbi's been to Donatello, so, you know, we're going to hang on to him.
He didn't look too happy about
it. Yeah, he doesn't look too happy about anything. That's why I like him.
I did not rate Donatello.
It's not the number one Italian. Him, right?
Yeah, sure. No.
That's me personally, but I've never rated it.
Yeah, but keep one eye on the podcast sponsorship, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course, my opinion will magically change. That should happen. Yeah.
We're massive fans. You know, when it comes to
send us.
The Talk for Boys are fans.
Want to send us some free potato wedges?
Yeah.
The address is. Yeah.
No, I'm going to try and get VIP of pizza or whatever it's called. I've still not tried. Apparently,
you still get discount.
VIP is good.
It's supposed to be good, isn't it? Yeah,
really good. Yeah, I remember having birthday parties at Topolino's on Church Road.
That was
much better than Donatello's. And kids used to get a free T-shirt.
Topolino's was owned by Donatello's.
Which was my pyjamas for about 5-10 years.
Topolino's, my dad has got a great anecdote about Dick Knight. Topolino's. It's not for now. Maybe another podcast.
Well, sorry,
you can't tease the listeners like that.
Oh, yes, we can. No. We could have a paywall, couldn't we?
I could put it in issue 8 of Dogma, perhaps, if they were described they might get the full.
But any anecdotes to do with Dick Knight sound enticing, don't they? Topolino's, we're trying to think of all the Italian restaurants in the past. That's the one none of us could remember the name of.
Yeah, there's one on Church Road and there's another one in town somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
Aldo Imo's.
Yeah, and that's
just a
restaurant. Yeah.
His name escapes
me. Aldo
Imo's.
It's
another one in Hove, isn't it? Was it all
Casinos? Yeah,
Casinos, yes. That only closed down very recently.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casinos used to have a later licence. I lived briefly at that end of Hove.
Yeah.
And they had, that would be a...
And you happened to always be in there after?
No, well, generally you'd be somewhere better, but if things had gone a little bit wrong, then they had they're open till 12.
Oh, so solid backup.
Well, guys,
any sponsorship out there, please feel free to get in touch. We'll be happily looking, won't we? Steering it back, we've slightly digressed, haven't we? But we're saying about Tony Bloom and, you know, should get on board with him and maybe hate Brentford. Probably we can't really hate Brentford. We could show our love for him, I suppose, as much as physically possible tomorrow night at the game. Are you three all going to the match?
It's a very sore subject.
Oh, dear, okay, yeah.
But we shan't go there.
two of us are and one is not.
And literally, you shan't go there because you could get caught otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah,
if you've gone someone else's ticket.
25 years of blood, sweat, money and tears and I still can't get a fucking ticket.
Limited application. So we're grounded all lots to tick off if they haven't done already.
Yeah, we didn't go there last year.
I missed that last year, but I went to the Women's Euros.
So you've been to the ground, yeah. Well,
did you go last year?
I've managed to go last year. Yeah.
Have you got a pub recommendation for us?
I've loads.
I used to work in Brentford, so.
Match
day. The Express Tavern is the best pub in London, which I'm putting out on the record if they
want to. And that's
as well. And they've got Harvey's, but it is technically a home pub.
No, you can go in. We went in there last year and had a huge range of beers on, food stays,
and the Express.
Short walk to the ground.
Best pub in London.
Okay, yeah. So there we go.
So that's one. If you're going the other side, you can come out Brentford. We did that last year, so this year we're going to go to the Globe over there, which has also got a very good reputation.
Chiswick side.
Very good food. We're going to be there all afternoon, so it'll get messy, I think. Recommend either of those. In terms of the game, though, we're speaking on the eve of the match. This is part of what's going to be the match day special as well, all in one. So we won't talk too much about predictions. Just a quick word before we do, though. Harker, how do you fancy our chances?
You're good. I suppose it's possibly the first sort of proper test. Yeah. Deserby, to some extent. I mean, the Spurs game was a bit disappointing. But in retrospect, maybe it was just the worst possible game. It was grim. It was a tricky first fixture.
It was a tight one.
Yeah, it was a tricky one. Yeah. But I don't know really. I'm looking forward to it, certainly. Mm.
Yeah, excellent. I've gone 2-2, but it's anyone's call. What can I?
That's a great prediction.
Yeah.
Desmond. You can't go wrong with that.
A Desmond, yeah, exactly. Desmond. James, are you Desmonding as well?
Let's go for a Tresmond.
A Tresmond.
James would be somewhere sitting, feeling miserable.
I'll be sitting with my thumb on my arse, probably watching on the TV.
At least it's on TV, I guess. That's the thing. I'm just relieved I'm going to be at a Deserby game because I was at a stag do in Newcastle, so I had to miss the Liverpool game, and then I was in Italy last week. I mean, it's not the worst way to miss out, but nonetheless, I've still not seen them.
Any Deserby fans in Italy?
Yeah, I did speak to a few people. They're going, oh yeah, Deserby. There was there's a Juventus fan serving us in a place where we had lunch on the Friday amidst a load of winery visits, which were brilliant. And he was lovely, really nice food there. And it was we chatted about football, and we said, oh, yeah, we've got Deserby. And he's going, oh, yeah, and doing the hand gestures. And he was cliches, but he was saying, yeah, he's a really good manager. And this is not the first time I've heard this. He was saying, was hoping we were going to get him if we got rid of it's Allegri, isn't it? It seems a popular view amongst Juve fans, and by extension, I presume Italian fans in general, that he's a good manager. So let's hope he can prove it and get his first win at the weekend. You reckon maybe a 3-3 or something?
No, I was joking. I don't know, it's a fool's game, pretty
exactly. I never get it right, ever.
Yeah, we never do well.
I'm just going to say we'll win 3-1.
Yeah.
Three
last,
win.
We won last season.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah, we have got
a double.
Checkered record. You're right. Yeah. Not so good. Well,
yeah. Redford in general is a bit of a strange one. It used to be a horrible boating ground, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I skipped those games, thankfully. And that brings us on to the subject of De Zerbi in general. I mean, the two games. I don't know if you caught either or both of those live or on TV or what you've done in terms of seeing them, but what are you guys made of De Zerbi first? Park, do you want to go first?
Well, I mean, as I said, last weekend was slightly disappointing, but I suppose to some extent I was sort of a bit pleased that there was some pragmatism, because the idea of the football we're going to play is going to take a bit of time, I think, to bed in.
Yeah.
And against a team who's quite good at counter-attacking, it seemed like potentially a really shit situation for us. We'll see how it rolls.
Yeah. So someone look like Peter Capelli just from around the corner.
Tell me,
what's
it?
Yeah,
what's the doctor?
Is he joining the podcast?
No, well, yeah, I mean,
is that another special guest? Yeah, we've been
full up. Hot ones, yeah, that was distracting.
Stage slightly.
I'll
turn it to the thick of it.
Oh my word, could you imagine? It's been, I think you're right, we needed it not to go too far off the scale too quickly, or we could have got too carried away with it.
Yeah, I think most teams will play and suffer against Tottenham like that this year. They have this sort of
Burnley
like
with the checkbook. Burnley with the checkbook.
Yeah, Burnley with the checkbook, and just sort of like, you know, which is interesting, we're talking about De Zerbi, but that sort of like classic Italian style, which you wrote some lovely words about, which is available at dogmabrighton.com. That classic style, I feel like most teams will struggle against that, because it's so negative and boring, and when you have two such potent an abundance of potent attacking players, they will score at some point. It's like in the World Cup, like you were saying, it's just really, really difficult to play against, particularly for a sort of like philosopher manager like De Zerbi. I think we gave a pretty good account of ourselves. Classic, if we score, we're in the game, and we didn't score. It wasn't an abundance of chances, but there was a couple where you're like, for God's sake, man.
Yeah. And because they scored, then obviously it's a different game then. Yeah. It plays into their hands.
Got Harry Kane falling around and conning referees forever.
So I don't believe it.
The darling of the right wing press, just doing his usual sort of Premier League's best dribbler sort of antics.
He was booked quite early.
Yeah.
But that was the worst thing that could happen.
Because he's never going to be second.
No, exactly. So then he could do exactly what he wanted for the rest of the year.
They will never send Harry Kane on.
Never.
Yeah.
St. Harry.
Yeah, he's my most hated footballer.
Oh, you.
Of all footballers.
It's a shame Peter's not here, because he shares that view.
Maybe Ronaldo, because he's legally and.
Which Ronaldo?
The current sort of slightly shiny one. he's like a legal.
We'll say no more.
Use the term, but he should be in prison. after him is definitely Harry Kane. So I apologise for the guy in Block G, West End Upper Row H, who was giving me daggers when I was using expletives to describe my opinion of Harry Kane, but it was all justified, and I don't regret a word of it. So sorry, mate.
It's not James's actual seat location. Not anywhere near James's actual seat location, just in case.
Back from there. My voice carries.
Exactly, that's quite a long way.
My voice carries.
Yeah, but he is universally hated, it seems, among certainly Brighton fans. Everyone I speak to, and myself, the same view as well. Can't stand the bloke.
Yeah, because Brighton fans are intelligent.
If he's scoring goals for England, fine, that's great. But apart from that,
Welsh anyway.
Fair enough. But I could compromise my principles just when we're scoring goals, England, because we need as much luck as we can get in that regard. But overall, I can't stand him for the reasons you've described. Yeah, the cheating, the whinging at the ref, particularly diving.
I think that's nothing out of the ordinary, but what with Kane, it's so annoying because it never gets mentioned, does it? Because he's, the England's, he's not, is he the captain? No,
Yeah, he's just going to wear the England captain,
and he's white.
Yeah.
Because Mo Salah gets called a diving cheat the whole time. But Harry, it's inducing the foul or being clever or game management. It's called fucking cheating.
There's nothing cute about Kane.
No, definitely
in
not.
In any way, shape or form.
The other end of the spectrum is cute.
I do find it weird though with Spurs. Not that I mean I hate them as much as anybody else, but their whole kind of USP, or it should be, is their forwards, and they just continue to appoint really shit defensive managers.
It's an odyssey, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really is. I don't get. They don't seem to be exploiting their potential, do they, at all? And maybe it is the ultimate flattery to us that they sat on the game for 60 minutes and didn't try and...
Sure, but I don't think there's any teams they won't do that against.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they play.
Yeah, true.
And they'll be devastatingly effective because of it.
Because they're burning with a chequebook, as Parker said.
Well,
what's
interesting about the whole Basuma dynamic?
I don't think we mentioned it on the last podcast, but you could get booed by some fans at the game.
I didn't hear that.
I think it's something to do with
mainly because I was probably doing it.
This is
you and your dad.
How much
was this to do with that? I was
just the fact that he failed someone and got booked.
Yeah, I think he chopped
up. Because
he chopped the character at some point.
Because he's chosen the wrong path in life.
He's chosen the way of the devil.
It's in or out.
Yeah,
dogma.
There we go. See, it brings us neatly round back to that.
Subjectively, he has, because he's totally wasted.
Why would you be happy?
They play him sort of behind two defensive midfield players.
Yeah, it's very odd. And also, Conte's been critical of the very credentials that have seen him shine for us before. But I think, surely he must have seen him doing that for us, A. And B, surely those are the credentials he must be bringing to the new club. And if they aren't, then that's got to be Conte's fault for, as you said, playing him in too defensive a position.
Sure, but with these teams, they have such an abundance of talent. Mm. They don't care. A lot of it's PR, like the Ben White thing. Yeah. Like a good Arsenal supporting friend of mine was like, one of the reasons they signed Ben White was because of the optics. Like, they can be seen to be attracting young English footballers that have like aspiration and like, you know, we got him kind of thing. So it's all about optics and that kind of stuff, and they've always done it. They've done it since Abramovich, just stockpile talent.
They always will. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, we'll have a quick break there. We'll probably have a mini second part coming up in just a moment. Until then, let's get some beers in. Yes, we're back with part two of the podcast. Still in the Gladstone, still with James, Rich and Parker from Dogma, which is great. Good company. Enjoying the beers. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Always a good point. I haven't got the food yet, just realised. Maybe later. Anyway, yeah, for part two then, just a little bit more on Dogma and a few other bits on the Albion. So, starting back with Dogma, what's next for you guys? What sort of plans have you got in the offing?
Well, so we have our Dogma was always intended as a sort of mixed media project. Yeah. So we absolutely love the print design, but we always intended to do. Why are you guys smoking?
Sorry, carry on.
to make it kind of mixed media and to do more than just print design. Can you start again? Sorry,
he's put me on. Yeah, we all should
keep it rolling.
We're
just
laughing.
Obviously,
we're having a good.
Ben, just kick me.
I'm
annoying.
Mucking around on the barrow quite heavily. All right. So future plans. So we're doing a pop up gallery and shop. So first weekend of December, weekend of the 2nd, so Friday the 2nd December, Saturday the 3rd, Sunday the 4th, Gallery 40 in Brighton, central Brighton, just down from the pond.
Across the road.
Gloucester Road, thank you, Rich. Yeah, so Gallery 40. So this, I guess, the World Cup's going to be on, so this is the chance. So it's called Communion, so this is the chance for people to come together when there is no football. There's World Cup football, obviously, but there's no Albion football. And we're going to have, it's all the great artists that you see in the pages of Dogma. We're going to have all their artworks, illustrations, prints, whatever else they want to do. Photography, originals, all sorts of amazing stuff. And people can come down and have a look and maybe buy some stuff or just enjoy it, really.
Right.
Yeah, so this is our first event, so we're quite excited about it.
Excellent, that sounds brilliant. Are you guys going to be involved as well with that then, James?
They have to start the shop. So, so whatever they answer to questions, yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah, we're happy to be part of it.
Yeah,
very happy to be a part of it. Someone's got to be distributing warm cans of John Smith, so that'll be it. Just like you were saying, I think, like, you know, part of our essence is about giving platform to people that they're involved in the club and from the fan base, and this is the kind of physical extension of that. And I think having that kind of focal point in a period, a kind of fallow period at the Albion, will be fun. And we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, the visual side of the visual side of design is so important, and it's I'm not sure obviously there's lots of people publishing stuff digitally, but in terms of print, there's nobody else doing the sort of stuff that we do. So, I think we're quite well placed to put on a really amazing show.
Seeing the artwork tangibly in front of you would be great. And would it be for sale as well?
That's the plan.
Will be
for sale.
Yeah,
3 weeks before Christmas.
Perfect time. Tactical, isn't it? Yeah.
There's going to be a Paul Barber themed sort of selection of turtleneck sweatshirts.
Handcuffs.
Handcuffs.
Paul Barber handcuffs.
Oh, because he's kinky. Or?
No, because he likes to put. Like to put every Albion fan in handcuffs.
Incarcerate the fans.
I mean, that is the sort of general Barber.
So you're starting kind of North Stand chat style rumour that Paul Barber is bondage.
No, that's not at all. Not that at all. So he would like to have everyone pre-arrested before the game.
Right.
Pre-arrested, just in case.
Yeah. Crimes of being a football.
A banning order, like written out.
He's got to put the name in.
Boilerplate.
Show me your ID so I can ban you. Thank you.
So I guess you won't be inviting him along now after that, in case
he's more than welcome.
Is it? You're
welcome.
Okay.
Why not?
As long as they're wearing a mustard jumper, though.
we're being mustard sweaters, but
there's a strict dress code.
We're not anti.
Oh, he's the pantomime villain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Someone's got bad cops.
Someone's got to be the bad cop.
Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
I think it's like 11 till 6 or something. Yeah. And then we've got a drinks thing in the evening. Smith, obviously.
Yeah.
Warm Council Smith.
For subscribers and contributors only.
And friends of design.
Friends of design. And then Saturday, I think it's like 10 till 7 or something, and then Sunday 11 till we get up in time, 11 till 4, something like that.
Right.
So it's definitely going
to be showing the World Cup as well.
I don't think there are any World Cup matches, James.
There are matches.
There might be matches. There might be the Wales game, possibly on the Sunday.
There's a small niche of Brighton fans that will be interested in that fixture, me and Ed Turns.
I'm not sure he's a fan, he's more of a player.
I think he's
got it in his blood,
mate. I think he might be. One or two of the youth players are, aren't they?
I can't remember which ones now.
Yeah, I read something, but I can't remember.
I hope they are.
Featured in the programme, maybe.
So it's called Communion.
Communion.
There will be some things on our website. When people listen to this, because I'm going to do it chronologically, there will be some details on our website.
DogmaBrighton.com. Yeah. Absolutely. And will there be further plans for further events like that, or events for different
Well, we're calling it Communion Number One, because we think it's maybe an annual event or something different, but something interesting next year. James has been working on some plans around the city that haven't come to fruition, but we're still working on them.
He looks like he's not sure what they are.
All right, well, we have some
There are things that could happen.
We had some slightly secret plans that haven't quite been.
Oh, he's being coy, is that what's going on?
Well, there's a general kind of
there's a general kind of what's the word kind of initiative for us to have more presence in the city centre.
Yeah.
And well, not the city centre.
When we say us, we mean Albion fans.
I mean Brighton fans. Yeah, that's what I mean. Really, which we're not claiming to be any voice for.
You mean the club?
Well, yeah, just the club.
Yeah, because there's a couple of satellite shots pop up every now and then.
So we feel there's an imbalance of representation of the club in the city centre and the wider area. We'd like to address that as best we can.
Good shout.
One element of that is communion. There's a couple of other few ideas that we've been working on. Details TBC, but as a general initiative, we'd like to readdress that balance of the representation of the club in the city centre, which we feel is just completely underrepresented. We'd like to take that burden as best we can, really.
I think because I've come down from London to games and quite often don't get a chance to go around the city, I've overlooked that fact, but you're right, there is a lack of presence, isn't there, in the town? Severely lacking, really. Yeah, I mean, there's far more people wearing shirts, which is great, but in terms of static.
Yeah, it's almost like it doesn't exist. It's almost like it doesn't exist.
Images,
You wouldn't, if you didn't know, you wouldn't necessarily know there was a league football team.
Especially doing as well as we are at the moment.
Exactly.
It does seem disproportionate, So communion doesn't, just to clarify, doesn't mean eating tasteless bread and drinking watered down wine for random reasons.
We might be doing that as well.
I mean, it sounds like it actually might be.
We might be doing that as well.
Yeah, that might be
fine. There's a very sort of loose pseudo-religious theme running through the majority of stuff we do.
The name does
matter. It will come with wafers, it will come with wine.
Wafers and wine, and everyone's in there.
Lots of singing.
And
Paul Barber's habits, we'll leave them to the side.
You know, there is a downstairs in the gallery.
I was just going to use a bit of tangent,
I thought about it. It's like a priest hole.
Right, on that note, we'll probably just change subjects. Just to round off then, we've mentioned it on the last podcast, but obviously it wasn't with you guys. Sad news about Mwepu, isn't it? Really gutted to hear.
Yeah.
It's come out of the blue, barring a little bit of what's going on there for a week or so.
You wonder what was going on there when you saw he'd been hospitalised as soon as you got to Zambia, is it some kind of, tropical disease or whatever?
Because Warren Aspinall was on Unlimited Pod and he was talking about how his career was cut short by having a superbug of some sort, which hospitalised him and it effectively, I think he could have carried on, but he was kind of pretty much told, look, probably best not to, because it had taken away all his, I guess his energy levels or whatever. He wasn't going to be able to perform in the same way. But I wondered if there might be something like that, actually. Initially, I thought, maybe malaria or something, when you go to hospital. That's a bit strange, but it turns out it was a hereditary heart condition, by all accounts, undetected until now.
So sad, there's so much potential that obviously won't be fulfilled there. Sad thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
For him and for us.
Such a happy-go-lucky guy, joyful guy, smiling, looked like he was loving life, loving football. Obviously, he still can love life, but...
We didn't see the best of him, but you feel like he didn't see the best of him.
Exactly.
Because you kind of think, if you can play that well in a top-half Premier League team...
In a new team, in a new country.
You kind of think, if he was a consistent member of the team, if he had a run of games, we often have that stupid conversation where it's like, he's going to be the next 78 million pound player. But with a run of games behind him, he would have been in that mix. That's how good he was.
He said it was a lovely message saying, it's his dream to play football and to play in the Premier League, and he's managed to do that. And that is all true, but I bet there is going to be a void left by, you've just said, the potential, the unfulfilled potential.
What did he play for? 25 games or something?
I think it was less than that.
Less than that, yeah.
Yeah. So, he'd already made an impression.
It'd be interesting to see how many of the results from the games he started.
He was part of that run at the end of last season.
North London disaster.
Of course, North London. I mean, scoring at Arsenal, obviously. Also, I feel like he played in most of those games.
He played in the Man U home game. Played in the West Ham home game.
His last game was the Leicester game. That's the kind of thing that you love to see from players.
He had some other assists as well, I think. I can't remember which game it was. It was a little flick fall into somebody. I think it might have been to Morphe.
Yeah, for sure. Like, the thing that I really like about him that we haven't had, I can't remember for years, having that kind of genuinely box-to-box midfielder.
Yeah.
Like someone that you would be comfortable with receiving the ball in our, you know, in our penalty box and being as comfortable around the other one. I can't remember the last player we had like that. So it is, like, obviously, like, perfect.
Richard Clough during his prime?
sure, but of the modern era.
No.
Yeah, for sure. Someone like Jippy or Junior Lewis.
Jeff Minton.
No, Jeff Minton was more technical, I reckon.
Yeah.
But yeah, like,
Steve Nelson?
Steve Melton. Yeah, but he only had a couple of games as well.
In that
Peter Taylor team. Yeah. No, look it up. It's only about 20 or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, obviously, the kind of emphasis lies with how terrible it must be for him and everything he's going through, but in terms of the sort of strings to our bow, we have a very significant loss there. And a very difficult kind of player to replace. You don't see those kind of midfielders much.
Yeah.
Matt Sparrow
was not box-to-box. He was like number 10.
Yes, he was.
He was like, zip the shoulder, have a shot.
He scored at least two goals. He tackled, he could pass the ball. He was a good player.
I don't think
Matt Sparrow dropped back that much.
Actually,
Abdul Razak
in number 10.
When he got sent off at Stoke.
Home to Ipswich.
Sparrow or Razak?
Razak.
Abdul Razak. Home to Ipswich was one of the most complete.
Yeah,
he was incredible.
Yeah, we're undermining the point here.
Yeah, it's a bit better.
So yeah, I mean, it's devastating. All ways you look at it.
Because you're right, in this era, with this standard team, we haven't had anybody tackling.
No, we're near. I mean
Basuma in a certain way did it, but it's not.
Basuma, he can shoot.
Exactly.
I was going to say, like, we've not had.
Wepu had the inclination and generally quite good accuracy with
doing
it. And the talent and the brains.
He was labelled as a Basuma replacement.
Yeah, you're right on both counts. Yeah, but he'll be sorely missed. He wore the number 8 shirt for this season, change of shirt number, which is significant. I think kind of feels more up the rankings.
Yeah, definitely. Number 12, wasn't he last season?
What's
Matt Sparrow range?
10. That's what I said. He was literally actually a number 10.
So 8 minutes. Possibly, there might be a thing on 8 minutes in relation to his shirt number. In the away end, I don't know what exactly is going to happen. Whether there'll be anything literally done with the Brentford lot, but they'll put something on the scoreboard.
We've
got a reasonable relationship with them.
If we were at home, then we would offer the courtesy as we always do.
We did it
for Manchester a couple of years ago. I bet you it's never. If the other way around, it wouldn't be. It's not a moan at people doing that. It's the right thing to do.
But
you feel like.
But he also hasn't died. I mean.
No, but it's still quite significant.
It's significant, but it's also like a sort of like in memoriam thing. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I was just having a rant against Big Six.
You're absolutely right on that point. But I think Brentford might very well do something officially with the scoreboard or whatever they
announce. That would be nice.
If they don't, then it's another reason to hate them. Another thing, we can try and get behind that.
To try to hate them.
Because I'm really going to keep pushing this until we do start hating them.
If they beat us tomorrow, I'll be on board. We're fully on board.
We have capacity to hate somebody else. We had that sidebar rivalry with Leighton Orient. About 20 years ago.
Brilliant.
Chesterfield.
There was some controversy with us and Orient with the transfer, wasn't there? Pinamonte, wasn't there?
Who knows the origin, but we had the 4-4 game.
We can have a lack of sidebar hatred,
London was ours last season. We are unbeaten in all games, wasn't it? I think I'm right in saying all games away from home. We've got obviously this season early days. But this is the first, I think this is the first London game of the season. I'm trying to remember now.
But it, no, West Ham is the season.
Yeah, so we're 100% this season. Yeah, that's true. So already we've carried it on.
Yeah.
And now we've got Brentford, who we won out last season. We'll see if we manage it again. By the time you hear this, you will have heard not only this part two and the previous part one, but also part three, which is our match day special. That's coming up after a short intermission. Before which, just quickly say thank you very much to my guest. Peter didn't turn up, by the way. He's in another pub getting drunk. Unbelievable. Thank you very much to Parker, to Rich, and to James for joining us. And once again, it's been a pleasure. Sure. It's been a pleasure. And once again, that internet website address is
dogmabrighton.com.
There we go. Check it out, guys. Cheers. And so to match day, and we're in, or just outside, the Globe pub, where a load of my Brentford mates are, and we've been joined by...
Jim Levack. I used to work on the Middlesex Chronicle, then the Press Association, and then more recently sort of did work for the on the Brentford website.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, welcome to the podcast, Jim. And what's your thoughts on... Let's start with Brentford's genesis, getting into the Premier League. How have you found all that?
It's a dream come true, isn't it? And, you know, so I always go back to this, but sadly it came a bit too late for my dad, who never saw it. And it was something that was just like a tick in a box that I had to see. So, you know, yeah, obviously we want to stay here now, but I think now I've been here, you know, it's a fantastic feeling. We want to stay, but... You know, it's a game at the end of the day, you know, and you have to get things like football in perspective.
Yeah. It's been great having you guys up in the Prem with us. We've just ahead of you going up there, but it's great to have clubs like Brighton and Brentford in there. I think it adds more colour and spice to the occasion. You don't want just the same old boring teams in there, do you?
And there
especially
are.
When they play good football.
Yeah, and there's a lot of teams, the top sort of eight. It's just drab, and we watch it because it's a spectacle and you're watching truly world-class players. The beauty of Brighton and Brentford is that some days you just don't know which Brighton or Brentford are going to turn up, which is, I like that, uncertainty.
This is the proper melting pot, isn't it? Because you've got the two teams that you don't know what's going to happen coming up against each other.
And they're both decent, they both want to play football.
Yep.
Brighton, decent side, you know, and they've... Very similar to Brentford in the ethos, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I like the way that they dealt with the young lad who's had to retire this week.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nice. It's a family vibe, and we've very much got that here, which I'm very, very proud of.
I agree. I think there's a lot in common. The way the clubs behave, playing stripes, both from the south, both start with the letter B. Lots of things in common. They've both got owners who are in the same general field. Obviously, there's a bit of animosity between them. And apparently, Tony Bloom will be in the away end as usual for Brentford away days, which will be interesting. We won't dwell on that. But in terms of Brentford this season, the second season syndrome thing, which can be a thing for some
clubs. I don't believe in that. It's rubbish. It's only second season syndrome if you want it to be.
Exactly.
And basically, you know, we've bought wisely, we've built well, we've built on very strong foundations of the ethos and the pillars at the club, like hard work and togetherness and things like that. And they're not just sort of, you know, empty values. They actually, everything we do, it comes back to that. And I just don't believe in the second season syndrome. You know, I just think we'll be fine.
I think I do, but only for certain clubs. I think if you're prepared well, if you're built in solid ground, as you said, and I mean, I don't know about you, but I felt entirely confident that we'd be okay second season. And just because I knew it was a well-run club, set up solidly, you can have bad luck, but generally you're likely to be okay.
You know, and I hate to, you know, you don't want to mention the R word, but you know, if we were to go down, the foundations are strong, but you can come back up again.
It's not
a problem.
Yeah, it's not the same thing as Blackpool and Huddersfield, clubs that were, you know, were always going to be punching above their weight.
Even Villa. I mean, look at Villa. You know,
they should have gone down, shouldn't they?
They're not, you know, Villa and, you know, to some extent Leeds, but I just think that they're not built on the same sort of foundations that Brentford and Brighton are.
They might be bigger clubs in terms of fan base, but that's not everything, as we know.
According to
them, it is, yeah. Absolutely. I know you've got to go in a moment to grab some food, but just final word on this season. How have you found Brentford? How have you found Brighton as well? What's your observations on the two teams?
Brighton have started like a train, haven't they? So, you know, and Potter did a great job.
Yep.
De Zerbi, I don't know enough about him yet. I mean, I'm hoping that there's a few stutters and bumps in the road.
Just in the early days. Say, for example, tonight.
Again, a manager that not a lot of people had heard of, you know, outside of the game. And he seems to be doing well. And I think Brighton will be comfortably mid-table, pushing for top sort of, you know, 7 or 8, really.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think that's the way I'd see it as well, I think. Yeah. And with Brentford, I have no illusions that you guys would go down. I think it's hard to say where you're finished because it's been a little bit inconsistent, hasn't it, in terms of ups and downs. And obviously you're missing Norgaard, aren't you? That's the big thing.
Yeah, but you can't be a one player.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, I mean,
and you're doing fine-ish without him in terms of,
we need a win tonight, really. But if we don't win tonight and we pick up a point and take points off Forest and Villa, then you take that 7 from 3 and everything's rosy again.
Indeed, yeah.
You know.
Any predictions tonight to finish off? I'm going 2-2, by the way.
I will go 2-1 Brentford.
2-1 Brentford, yeah. Okay, brilliant. Well, let's see how it works out. Jim, thanks for joining us. Cheers. Okay, second up on the Brentford posse, we have, affectionately known as Club Shop Anne. Welcome to the pod, Anne.
Cheers, thank you so much. Yeah, Club Shop. I used to work in a club shop and for Brentford, so yeah, nickname starts. So yeah, Club Shop Anne.
And you've got an affiliation with Besotted as well.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, so I kind of like known Billy and Laney for like many years, and Besotted, you know, when in the old days when fanzines were like paper copies that were sold, you know, around the ground and in the club shop in the brown paper bag sort of thing.
And yours was very prominent as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I always
remember.
That.
Yeah, it always was, and it was always kind of, and I think like in the days of you know, the old fanzines, you know, even the away fans used to love getting a copy of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's always been, and I think, you know, now we go into the digital age, and you know, with podcasts and websites, yeah, it's also amazing. It's a major part of the club and a major part of the, you know, the fans, and you know, keeping it real. Yeah,
brilliant. And have you been finding this, the Premier League, first time in the top flight for many, many years?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can't remember the last time yourself.
No, of course not. So it was about 74, 75
years ago since Brentford won the. I'd be amazed if you didn't.
I know, exactly. But I think Brentford fans, we know our history, and so, you know, it was like a double whammy winning, because not only we won a Premier, you know, an actual playoff final, which I'd never, you know, I've been to, like, you know, like the previous 12 playoff. You know, Wembley visits, you know, and Cardiff visits, and not seen us win. And so to win a playoff final was emotional. I mean, you know, Brentford fans were just looking at each other like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
We never won anything and gone up. So and now to be, like, you know, part of the Premier League, absolutely amazing. Obviously, first game of the season, last season, back from kind of lockdown, the first real game with all fans in the stadium against Arsenal, amazing. So yeah, it's been a great journey. We've enjoyed it, and you know, we stayed up last season, and we're doing strong this season. We got you tonight.
I don't feel as if you guys are any threat at all. In terms of going down, in terms of today's game, anything can happen.
I mean, obviously, I think you're only one of a handful. Brighton are only one of a handful of clubs who actually did a double over us last season.
Yeah.
And I was painfully there for the home game.
Yeah.
Painful day, and again the Boxing Day game. You know, So
we nabbed it in your home game.
Yes.
Far away game.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think that should have been a draw. Really.
Yeah, I think on paper, yeah, it should. Yeah. Should have been a draw, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, you played it right through for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You've done well there. You know, you were looking strong.
Yeah.
I think you're looking really strong. Obviously, you know, manager's moved on.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, wow. I mean, I didn't think that was going to happen. I was really shocked.
So quick.
Yeah. I mean, it's great for him because it's an opportunity. But I would have liked him to have done another season with you guys.
So would I.
We always worry because every time a manager leaves and then we play that
team, we normally
get beaten.
And also with when the managerial changes, you can start worrying about your own manager as well, because he's doing well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Necessarily with Brian, but with, say, Chelsea, someone, you never know who they're looking for.
Exactly. But, you know, it's great. I think it's amazing that, you know, Chelsea have come in for a Brighton manager. I think they've done well, and it, you know, and it shows what direction the club has been going in for them to come in for him. So I think it's amazing. I wish him all the best
luck. I really like Brentford. I think it's a great club, great fans, great pubs as well. We went Riverside last time. We're the other side this time.
We've got a fair few pubs. And I think what I love about Brentford, we've got the new stadium now, but we're keeping it real. It's like an old, it's still got that old
You haven't lost the essence.
No, exactly. You know, and a lot of people say, oh, it's enough going to Griffin Park. It was a proper old ground. And the cup games that we've had, and we had Colchester in the cup earlier in the season, and last year we had Port Vale. And when you go to those old grounds, you love it, real football. Yeah. But we still have that here, and I think it's weird. So, anyway, this evening, I hope you enjoy the game, not as much as we do.
Thanks, Dan. It's been a pleasure chatting to you. We didn't have a chance to chat to Lainey and Billy because we've got to shoot off. I'm under pressure from my mates to leave.
Yeah,
I think we've got to make our way there. But it's been an absolute pleasure. Good luck for the rest of the season.
And you, wish you all the best of luck. And thank you so much. Yeah, enjoy.
Brilliant. See you all again next
time.
Come on,
you bees.
Oh, yes. Cheers. So we're now walking up to the ground. We didn't have a chance to chat to Billy or Lainey, the main instigators of the Besotted podcast. But we are now walking up. That's the Albion lot. And I'm walking next to Chaz, whose stag do I was at a couple of weeks ago. Have you recovered yet, Chaz?
Well, Russell! Just about.
Yes, it was a bit of a heavy one. Anyway, very quickly, thoughts on the game. Building up to kick off, we're walking up. It's about 7:10. On the long walk to the ground, how are you feeling about it?
Very excited. I'm expecting goals.
Yep, lots of them.
Yes, hopefully lots of Albion goals, but yes, lots of goals.
I'm on a 2-2 prediction. What are you thinking? Something similar?
I reckon.
Are we going to win this?
I think 3-2 either way. I don't know who to though.
That's the first person that's given a potential prediction to Brentford who's a Brighton fan. All the Brentford fans, by the way, thought they were going to win by a small margin.
Okay.
And that's fair enough. Yeah. That's fair enough. They're at home. They've got to be full of optimism.
Yeah.
I think the general vibe is that they are kind of thinking we're a good team, but that we might be in a slight bubble at the moment that might come crashing a bit down.
Yeah.
We've drawn and lost the first two games.
Yeah.
Right now.
We need a win, don't we? Ideally. That 3-2 you're talking about would be nice.
Brentford need a win.
Well, we'll see how it goes. All the way to the ground. As you can tell, we're walking here on Main Road, and we'll leave it there. More from the stadium later on.
Oh, we lost the way.
Andy, since kickoff, we've been singing this. 3 minutes in. Love it. Great atmosphere. Just going on and on. Over in the box. That won't stop the singing, Danny, will it? Andy, we've been owning the singing all day long. That Weppy song went on for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
We started to boss the game, and what a shot just now.
Yeah, amazing shot. Brilliant save.
Tip just over.
Yeah.
And here's the corner. Here's the corner. Oh! Another save.
That was Veltman.
Veltman had a shot on the turn.
From 6 yards.
Oh!
For the last 5 minutes, we've absolutely bossed them. We should have scored.
Yeah, we really should. We really should.
It's not the same old problem.
Exactly. This is a sequence of three attacks. If we could do something with this next corner. And by the way, there hasn't been a single gap with singing in the entire half. 21 minutes in. 22 minutes in. But the move might have broken down. Second phase.
Right.
That's good, Binyan. Good cross.
That's a good ball.
Just eluded old man. Pascal beaten to the ball there on the break. Pascal can't win it back. Still in defence of Brentford. We're pressing. Still pressing. And Raya's had to hoof it.
I have just seen Tony Brew.
A bit of a statement about the away scheme here.
Have you got it? Have you got ID? 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 Have you got ID?
So Brentford 1-0 up, sloppy from Purvis, they got him behind us, ball in for the right, put away first time.
Yeah, whoever put the cross in on the right, he had so much space in the box.
Far too much.
Yeah, because Purvis, they committed.
Yeah. Looking at the replay now as well, it's from Wetford and Bremel, sorry.
Oh, it's not. Oh, it's a very good finish.
Great finish from Tony. Lovely, clever finish that. From an inside right cross. He flicked it with the inside of his, the back of his foot, right foot.
Instep,
yeah. However, who's singing?
Oh, we knock and wear. Oh, we knock and wear. Oh, we knock and wear.
So a minute after the goal, we're on the attack, still singing. They've hardly said anything since they scored.
Come on, lads!
Attacking down the left side. Casado's running the game, isn't he, at the moment? And cross. Sloppy. Cross has struggled a bit, hasn't he? Tony's running with a foul. Deemed as a dive, and on with the attack we go. To the questionable new Roberto De Zerbi song in the background. Poof! Threading it through, that's good boys. Out wide. Nearly wrong foot to the right man, over the flick. Trossard, Mel Welbeck, Trossard again. Estupiñan wins the corner. Here we go. Half-time with the blaring PA in the background, bit of madness, a London boy. We're in London. We're losing 1-0, I don't think we should be.
But Tony scored a great goal and we haven't made the most of our opportunities, you know. So I did say this 25 minutes ago or so. We had a great spell, we created some great opportunities. Either we shot wide, the goalie made one amazing save from Casado. March had a really good effort that was blocked. That was on target. Welbeck had a header that he from 5 or 6 yards. That was really tame.
Better.
Yeah,
should have got a low and straight at the goalie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Had a couple of opportunities where he seemed to just fall over or lose the footing.
Yeah. And actually, one that I thought he'd spooned over was a corner.
Yeah.
I think the Welbeck chance really was the one where we should have buried it.
Yeah.
Caicedo's shot was a cracker, and it's a brilliant save. Just got something on it, and it grazed the roof of the net. That's how close it was.
Yeah.
Brilliant shot, brilliant save. I can't complain about that. But I have to say, a fantastic finish from Tony.
Yeah.
That really was a brilliant finish.
Yeah.
Broke down the right, ball played inside, a shorter cross from just the edge of the, or inside the 6-yard box, and he just flicked it with the inside of his right foot.
Instep.
It's instep. I know.
But you know, that goal, you look at it again, Purvis overcommitted. There was so much space down that side of the pitch. The guy who put the cross, I think, was Wissa. He had so much time. He had one half of the penalty area to his own.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tony will punish you.
Yeah. Speaking of Tonys, we've got the other Tony, Tony Bloom, in the away end. We had that song you might hear on the audio later from earlier. Singing about the ID cards. A bit of a statement, followed by a quick Tony Bloom's Blue and White Army. To say it's not a dig at him, but it's a dig at the system.
Yeah.
Quite right too. I think we needed to make that point.
Yeah, we do. And we're half time, and the thing of note is that Mittimer's having a good run out, so I reckon he'll be on quite early in the second half.
Yeah, he's warmed me up quite a bit. It's not a surprise to say I'm a big fan of Mittimer. I've already been singing his praises. He's done well whenever he's come on. And I think he's worthy of certainly a longer period in the second half.
Yeah. No, I agree. I was really sceptical when he turned up because he was similarly to Tao. He turned up at 25, 24, 25. And I think that might be a little bit late to make it in the Premier League. But it's proved me wrong.
Yeah.
Every time it's come on, it looks so exciting.
Yeah.
But we just need goals and assists from him this half.
Yeah. Let's hope that starts today with the second half. Early in the second half, hopefully. Back a bit later on. And Andy, we do have a change at half time, don't we?
Yeah. As I said, Batema's coming on straight away.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And Estupiñán off.
Yeah.
Scotty moves across to the left.
Yeah. I mean, Estupiñán is needing to adapt to the Premier League. He's got quite out of position a few times. They've
played
him for goal today, but there were one or two other times where he's quite out.
Yeah. Right.
So, my prediction is we will have goals in this half.
I'm sticking with my 2-2. Penalty to Tony, 11 out of 11. Here he goes.
Going
out of the middle. 1-0, 63.5 minutes. On the spot. So they're 2-0 up. Penalty from Ivan Tony. 12 out of 12 for him. Another good take from him. The crowd were momentarily noisy and they've gone back to their normal silence now already. Despite trying to give us some grief. We just had a chance that went very close. Couldn't really see what happened. Looked pretty dangerous. We subsequently made two subs. Gross is off, Lallana's on, and Trossard's off, Undav's on, and we've got a throw-in deep inside Brentford territory. And we might be about to score. Who knows, Andy? What do you think?
I would wager they'd get a body in the way. This is what's happened so far.
Yeah. Good idea for subs, in theory.
Well, we've got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
From doing it.
And Undav's not had it. It's his first proper go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, his first go under Dezabi. Let's see how it goes. We're on the attack. Let's stay with us a second. Ooh, watch shot from range. Back with the goalie. They're gone.
Shot by Undav, I think.
Shot by Undav, we think. Straight away, pretty much. Post-match, very quickly.
That's all.
Not too much to talk about. First half, good finish from Tony. Second half, good finish from Tony. Apart from that, disappointing, wasn't it, George?
Very frustrating. Pretty much the same as the Spurs game, to be honest.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could say we're a little bit unlucky.
Yeah.
We created a lot of chances. We had a lot of possession. And we came up against the goalkeeper that was just not going to be beaten today.
Seven shots on target, about 15 off target. Or
21 in total, I think it was. So.
It's one of those tough days.
It feels like we're not moving the ball quick enough, unfortunately. We don't look dynamic enough. In the first half, they had the first 10 minutes. We definitely had the next 15 up until they scored in the 28th minute. And up until then, it looked like one-way traffic. It looked like we were the only ones who were going to score. And we didn't. And
they got
a very good finish.
So we honest that, we needed 4 points in these two games, I thought. We can only get three now. We're desperate to get that win against Forest now.
I just, yeah, there's not an awful lot of optimism. We don't look like we can buy a goal.
Yeah, exactly.
Thankfully, Forest are probably the right opponents you want to come up against, someone who are really struggling, and we've got home field advantage, so we'll see.
Chaz, anything quickly from the game post-match?
Nothing further to add.
Hey, Courtney, have you got anything further to add?
Load of shit.
Second half. Yeah, couldn't do much more. Anyway, that's it. Signing out for this one. 2-0 defeat at Brentford. On to the next one.
Next one.
Bye.
And so ends another frustrating day for the Albion. De Zerbi still yet to get his first win after three games. And really not much more to say on the matter other than we need to do better. We need to get the win against Forest. So disappointing, but it is what it is. We'll be back, I'm sure, next time. We'll probably be doing another match day special for the Forest game. But in the meantime, next up is a non-league special. We're going to Hastings, Peter and I. That will be your next episode. Stay tuned. In the meantime, stand or fall, up the Albion.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.